Good morning, everyone. This is perhaps the most important day of all of the days, so it's too bad that there are some people missing. They'll have to watch the recordings or something, because we're going to discuss how to give Bible studies and how to make your own Bible studies. And this is the core of being a Bible worker, of being trained as a Bible worker, is to be able to give Bible studies. And I understand that some of you have given Bible studies before, but it would be really good to have for you to have some material to go through, where you can actually go through a whole course. Maybe that's some suggestion for a future course, but where you can actually go through each of the Bible doctrines and learn how to give them, how to give that Bible study.
Is it working? I just put a new battery in. Oh, weird. It was charged.
Okay, does that work better? All right. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer before we start. Let's bow our heads and knees. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for another new day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to learn how we can give Bible studies. I pray for your blessing upon this session. I pray that you will speak through me, and that the words that I say may be beneficial and help us to be effective soul winners. This is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Just a short recap. In the first session, we talked about why we do evangelism. Four reasons: for saving souls, for personal spiritual growth, for making God, others, and yourself happy, and for unifying or uniting the church. We saw the three M's of the commission. We looked at the mission, which was soul winning, the message, which was the everlasting gospel in the framework of the three angels' messages, and the method, which was Christ's method alone. And then we looked at yesterday about with social skills. Or not yesterday, we looked at on Friday. We looked at social skills, and we talked about shirt, how we can have a conversation with a person. Talk about self, their home, their interests, their religion. And then we also talked about how to share our testimony. Some things to remember when we're being social: to have a genuine interest in people, to look for opportunities to show kindness and sympathy, to listen more than you speak. We remember the EAR acronym. Do not argue. Speak confidently in a pleasant tone of voice. We looked at three kinds of testimonies also. The you testimony, which is a conversion testimony. Somebody who has not grown up in a church or grown up to know Jesus, but they've been out in the world and they have received a conversion experience. The why is maybe someone who has grown up in a church, has tasted the world, and then come back and follow Jesus. And the I is someone who has had a continual walk with Jesus. And you got to share your own personal testimonies as well. Then after you share your testimony, you always want to connect people to the Word. And finding people to study the Bible with, that is our second task, or second most important task as Bible workers. The first, the most important task that we have as Bible workers is, of course, having Bible studies with people, studying the Bible together with people. The second is to find Bible-hungry people. And we looked at some examples of where we could find people to study the Bible with. And today, we will look at the Word of God. So I just want to share a little a few texts before about the Word of God, and then we'll go right into how to have a Bible study. Luke chapter 8. There we read the story that Jesus shares. Luke chapter 8. Verse 5 through 8. And if somebody that has a microphone, if you can read it.
A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
All right. And if someone can read verse 11 through 15, and we'll find out what the parable means.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they hear the word, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
Okay, so Jesus is telling this parable. And what does the seed represent? The word of God. That is what is sown out. That is what springs up in people's lives. So do you see how crucial it is that we have Bible studies with people? It is so important, because Bible studies is the way in which we scatter the seeds. It's of course one of the ways. There are some other ways also that we can share the word of God. But personal Bible studies, in-home Bible studies, is one of the most important ways. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's read that one as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1 through 4.
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables.
So he makes a most solemn charge here. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. That's what he charges them with. Preach the word. Don't preach human traditions. Don't preach speculations. Don't preach philosophies of other people. But preach the word. And this is what we are to preach. And as we go out to preach to people, we do not go out preaching the spirit of prophecy. You understand? When we give Bible studies, we don't come with Ellen White quotes to them and tell them that, you know, this is what you should believe in. Because why? Well, obviously the person themselves, they might have very much prejudice, and they might not even, they don't believe that Ellen White was a prophet. So it makes totally no sense that we would bring her writings to use her writings as an authority when we're giving Bible studies. You understand? Now, that doesn't mean we can't share a book with them and say, this has been a huge blessing to me, and I think you'd like to read it. I think you'd like it if you read it. I mean, that's a different thing. But if you try to prove your doctrines from the spirit of prophecy, that is a total no-no as you give Bible studies. Yes?
Could God preach the spirit of prophecy? Why call the books for the people, the outside, the other right? Because the outreach, you go the ground controversy, the people who is the other right.
Right.
Preach the other right.
Right.
It's
true, and I mean, some of her books are evangelistic. It's a good point. Like, you're thinking, why do we sell Ellen White books? Because people don't believe it. Well, the thing is, some of her books are evangelistic. Like, The Great Controversy is an evangelistic book in that sense. And when people read it, they are pointed to the Bible. But if we come with it and tell people that, you know, why I believe what I believe is because I read it in the spirit of prophecy, that's not going to be winsome. So that's what I'm saying. It's not wrong to share her writings. But as you see, I'm quoting her writings a lot here. But that's because I assume that you all believe in the spirit of prophecy. If you didn't, I could show you most of the things that I say from the Bible only. And that's what we need to give the impression of, that, because there's so many false ideas out there that Seventh-day Adventists, they just take things from Ellen White, they don't take things from the Bible. But we can show everything we believe from the Bible. We believe in the spirit of prophecy because we believe in the Bible and the Bible only. You understand? Because the Bible says that there will be visions at the end of time. So, anyway, that was a side point. Preach the word. That's what we need to do. We are born again through the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. So it is when people come in contact with the Word of God, that's when they are born again. We are also sanctified through the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them by your word, by your truth, your word is truth. So we're sanctified through it. We resist temptations through the word of God. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, said David. And our faith is strengthened when we read the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It increases our happiness as we read the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16, you remember the sermon I had yesterday. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So, we need to get people into the word. Ellen White saw hundreds and thousands of people visiting families and opening before them the word of God. Hearts were convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. So hundreds and thousands can do it. I think every one of us can learn how to give a Bible study. There needs to be so many more Bible workers out there. Here's another quote from Gospel Workers, page 364. Of equal importance with a public effort. That's the public preaching, you know. Of equal importance with a public effort is house-to-house work in the homes of the people. As the result of the presentation of truth in large congregations, a spirit of inquiry is awakened, and it is especially important that this interest be followed by personal labor. This is the personal labor she's speaking about. Those who desire to investigate the truth need to be taught to study diligently the Word of God. Someone must help them to build on a sure foundation. And at this critical time in their religious experience, how important it is that wisely directed Bible workers come to their help and open to their understanding the treasure house of God's word. So do we need Bible workers? Very much so. We need wisely directed Bible workers to come and help people understand the Bible. So otherwise the public efforts will not have as big impact as they otherwise would. Now, perhaps I should have shared this before, but I just want to point this out because I want to stress the personal effort. And we might think that, oh, but I cannot, if I go to a house, it's so few people that I come in contact with, you know? It's only like one or maybe two people. But if you preach on a big scale, maybe you do TV evangelism, then you reach so many people. Well, as she says, you need to follow it up if you're going to have success. But doing one person at a time, focusing on one person at a time, can actually be very efficient. If we look at this quote, she says that in times past, there were those who fastened their minds upon one soul after another. Not 20 souls at a time, right? It's one soul after another. Saying, Lord, help me to save this soul. This is what we need to have. Help me to save this soul. But now such instances are rare. So we need to pray for these people. And let's pray for one at a time. Usually babies are born one at a time, aren't they? Sometimes there's twins. Sometimes there's very rare times there are triplets, you know. But usually there is one baby at a time. And that's how soul winning works as well. One person at a time. He says, you must pray as though the efficiency and praise were all due to God, and labor as though duty were all your own. So we need to pray efficiently, work to the best of our ability. Now, this is a graph that just demonstrates this idea of winning one soul at a time, and how it's actually even more effective than let's say a super evangelist that wins 1,000 souls a day. Now that's quite a lot. 1,000 souls a day. And this evangelist starts reaching people. After 1 year, how many souls has the super evangelist won? If he wins 1,000 a day. 365,000, that's right. 365,000 souls a day, or a year. And then it's twice as much the next year. And if you win, but if you choose, you say, I want to win one soul to Jesus per day. And I want to teach this soul to do the same. You understand? I win one soul per day, but I teach this person to do the same. What will be the effects? Well, after one year, you have two souls, yourself and this other person. And the second year, there are four. And now the super evangelist, of course, he has 365,000 times two. So he has lots of souls already. But if you see this graph, as it increases exponentially, and after 20 years, or it's beginning to take a big toll here, after 23 years, it is about the same as this super evangelist. Just if people follow this method for 23 years. And then, after 24 years, you see the difference? This super evangelist doesn't stand a chance. If we use this method of reaching one soul on 1 year and teaching this person to do the same. And this person, when they win a soul, they teach them to do the same. You understand? So every year this is doubled. And you know, after 33 years, the whole world will be reached. The entire world will be reached. Over 8 billion people after 33 years. So we think that all this message can never be finished in our generation. Oh, how is it possible? We're so few. You know, if we just follow these principles. It's within our generation that this message can go out. And imagine if not only one person did this, but imagine if 1,000 people did it. Or imagine if, let's say, all 18 million Adventists started doing it. Now that would be a huge impact, and Jesus would come very, very soon.